On today's episode, what to do when your friend's a total drag, the mystery of the rotating roommate, and LB's accent takes a trip down south. All that and more on today's episode of Bad Advice with Lori Beth Denberg.
Tell me all almighty Lori Beth Denberg. Give me the vital information so I get the red thoughts. Who do you? The church of Lori Beth is in session and we're reading from the scriptures of vital information. Talk to my goddess and my savior, my LBT. Just tell me what's going on with me. Oh, my goddess and my savior, my LBT. Just tell me what's going on with me.
Hello, hello. My name is Lori Beth Denberg. And you are listening to the Bad Advice Podcast. Woo. With me, as always, is Clark Crozer.
Hello.
Hello, Clark.
How are you?
I was going to ask you the same thing.
Oh, I'm doing pretty good.
Yes?
Pretty good. A little tired, you know, still having to wake up at the butt crack of dawn for my new first grader. But other than that, doing pretty good.
But as we record that.
Yeah, that's right.
The seasons are changing. And you have, again, Clark's kid goes to school. But we all know that it's the parents that really have the burden.
Exactly.
So from school, Clark has a 5-day weekend.
I'm so excited. This is amazing. I finally get to sleep in.
And here's the 5-day weekend, which blew my mind.
Yeah.
Because LAUSD, Los Angeles Unified School District, takes California's birthday off.
Yes.
I just learned this from my friend who's a teacher.
Yeah.
That they have, you know, this Friday off because it's California's birthday. It's the day that California was like smushed into the Union or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I go, I never got that off.
I know.
I was like, what the fuck is this bullshit?
So true.
But then she pointed out, yes, when you went to school, we started after Labor Day.
It's exactly right.
So you have, Clark, time off to celebrate California's birthday.
Yes, and I will be doing that by sleeping as much as I can.
Yes. Lazy California hippie. But then the day, then Saturday and Sunday, Monday is Labor Day.
That's right.
As we record this, you will see that it's not live.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's Labor Day. And then Tuesday is Rosh Hashanah.
That's right.
So score one for the Jews that give you the day off. This was not the case when we were going to school.
Right. Because you know what would absolutely suck? A 4-day weekend. 4-day weekends suck. 5-day weekends, now you're talking.
Yeah, exactly.
Now you're really talking.
That is the magic number. But when we were going to school, and I know there are people out there going like, this country's going to hell. Like, how do the people feel like that don't want to celebrate Martin Luther King's birthday?
Right, yeah.
That now they get it. Well, I don't want a day off for Rosh Hashanah.
Right, exactly.
And it's like, well, too bad. Can you just enjoy that you don't have to wake up? Or, you know,
Who
and obviously people don't get the day off from work unless they take it. But when we were kids, when we were school age children, you know, all the Jews just had to like miss school that day.
Yeah, that's true.
So now, you know, thank you, Jews, and you're welcome, everyone else, from me to your 5-day weekend.
Yeah.
I always say that to people on Easter. I go, you're welcome, because if I hadn't killed your savior, you wouldn't have any chocolate.
It's so true.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so true.
I'm ready to accept your thanks. But 5-day weekend.
Are you doing anything fun this weekend?
I don't have any plans for this weekend.
Okay.
But next weekend, when this is airing, I will have actually a 5-day weekend.
Oh, nice.
I mean, I don't go to school or have any sort of real job. Yes. So like a weekend away from what? But I am actually going to go camping.
Oh, nice.
I usually go camping with a big group of friends.
Nice.
Every year.
Oh, that's awesome.
But like,
what kind of a place are you going camping? Is it like a beachy place or more like a tree, like a foresty place?
Well, why not both?
Oh.
Well, it is the beach. It's near Malibu.
Oh, okay.
And on one side of the PCH, which is the Pacific Coast Highway.
Of course.
One side is the campground that has the trees, and we do tent camping and stuff. People bring trailers and motorhomes and stuff too. But then you go under the PCH overpass and you're on the beach.
Nice.
You're on the beach. It is not a great beach. It is rocks as far as, like, the rocks stop in the ocean when it's too deep for you to touch the bottom.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure the rocks never stop.
Sure,
but,
sure.
So it's just, and you're like, oh, I gotta go in the ocean.
Yeah, I mean, you're at the beach.
So I'm going camping. I usually go camping with like 40 friends, usually a big group. And then people come up for the day to just hang out. But we are COVID-y. We are strong Delta force.
Yeah.
So this year it is not that. It's just a few of us that wanted to go camping, and we're keeping it really, it's really interesting. We're keeping it really small, and we've asked everyone, like, look, be vaccinated or have a negative test within 72 hours, which is like so crazy. I'm like, how official are we?
Well, it sounds like something that only Disneyland can do. And you're like, no, no, no. Anyone can say that to their friends. If I want to get together with you,
and then I say,
I want you to be vaccinated.
And I'm like, if someone has a problem, we'll just find out we didn't know we hated them. Let me scratch you off the friends list. But so yeah, we are going. We have a lot of space.
Nice.
You know, we're all paying for the sites. And
I mean, if it's the same site that you normally do 40 to 50 people in, you should be like really stretched out.
Yeah, we're going to go. Usually it's 8 people. We get a bunch of sites and it's 8 persons maximum to a site. That's the campground rules.
Gotcha.
Because they don't want a bunch of dirty hippies like you come in with 80 of your friends using the facilities and paying like $30 a night.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't need to hear your fucking drum circle. Come on. But so it's usually 8 people to a site. We're looking at doing 4 or 5 people to a site.
Nice.
And then really trying to social distance and say, hey, it's up to you if you want to, you know, have your own campfire. We can do sitting 6 feet, all that kind of stuff. So we're going to have to negotiate that. But I'm looking forward to it.
And this will be probably even more fun now, considering you had to miss your Mexico vacation.
Yes, exact. So again, I am not getting excited about potentially going camping.
Hopefully the dog won't eat your driver's license next.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he will. I don't know. I just don't know. So yeah, it would be pretty shitty if after Mexico got canceled, I also couldn't even go camping an hour away from my house.
Oh,
like the dog
sad.
Eats my carburetor or something. I have to hitchhike with all my gear. So I am looking forward to that. And it's like, we're going Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and we check out Monday.
Okay.
Sorry, I counted very quietly on my hands because I had to count to 5 on my hands. So because setting up camp is tiresome and sweaty and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, but with the length of the trip, we get enough time to just be before we have to get tired and sweaty packing up. That I'm looking forward to it.
That's awesome.
I'm looking forward to the nothing.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Yes, and the weather's getting cooler.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you this, because we're going into what, fall?
Yeah.
So there is a point where the weather will turn enough and it'll get colder and a little windy. Mm. And every time that happens, every year, I have this like sense memory. It reminds me of when we would be doing the fall play in high school.
Yeah,
whenever I feel that weather, I always picture myself in front of the multi-purpose room where the box office was, in front of that small parking lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Every single year, that's like, it's like, you know, when you smell cinnamon and you're like, my grandmother's cider. Like when that weather hits me, that's exactly where my mind goes.
That's so funny.
Isn't it weird?
Wow.
Because how much should I hate high school?
Yeah, I know. However, I do have to say, out of all the plays that we did together, Rumors was quite possibly, that was such a fun little core group of people. And we all had our own little friends, and we'd be like, you, me, and Farrah.
Yep.
And then Steven would be there.
Is that just Is that Paul Simon? Not Paul Simon. No, Neil Simon?
No, it's Frank Garfunkel. it's Neil Simon.
Neil Simon's
Neil
Rumors.
Neil Simon, Rumors.
Yes. That was a fun one.
And that was a fall play. That's something fun to remember.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
I think that might have been the only fall play I was ever in.
Really? Yeah, because...
I never had the grades.
Yeah.
You had to have like a C average.
Yeah, it's like playing football. You have to actually be passing if you want to play the game.
Yeah, and that's how, you know, low my bar of coolness was. Like, I can't even do the drama geek stuff. My grades aren't there.
What was the last Hill year? Did we do...
Is that Cabaret?
Cabaret with a K.
I was in Cabaret with a K.
But I don't know if that was fall or if that was spring.
Well, that would be the spring musical.
That was a spring
it was
musical.
A fall straight
what happened
play.
In the fall? Metamorphosis.
Oh, Jesus.
Metamorphosis was in the fall.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
About the guy that turns into the cockroach.
Yes. Gregor Samsa awoke one morning to find.
Man, I hadn't thought about Metamorphosis in about 30 years.
Yeah, I think about it a lot, actually. Not the actual play. I wasn't in it.
No. I worked backstage.
Yes. I think I worked the house.
Oh, okay.
And that comes up to me in my brain a lot.
And it was weird too, because didn't that performance happen on the stage of the main theater?
It was.
And then they built an, like, wasn't it Theater in the Round?
It was Theater in the Round. There was like 3 rows or so of chairs on the stage in the square, and then the action took place in the middle.
Huh.
Yeah, it's a weird fucking
weird.
Deal.
Yeah.
And why am I blanking on the guy's name?
Kafka,
thank you. Yeah. I was thinking Sartre, and that's not real.
No.
And by the way, I'm super awesome because I know things like Sartre and Kafka.
It's true.
Anyway.
It is. It does remind me of high school a little bit too, of that, like, going back to school.
Going back to school, Halloween weather.
Auditioning for the fall play.
Yes.
Yeah, that was fun. That was fun. I like that. But before we go too far into reminiscing of high school, maybe we should switch over to a couple of questions.
Yes, sir.
You in the mood to answer some questions and help some people out? All right, let's do that first. Let's do it. I'm going to need a little help here, LB.
Oh, what?
I got this email, and it's a good email. I'm about to read it to you. But it's from somebody, and I cannot, they put their name twice, and they spelled it this way twice, and
okay.
I cannot for the life of me figure out how this is supposed to be pronounced.
Hold on, listeners. I'm leaning away from the mic to look at the monitor. Mikaehel. I think it's probably just Michael.
You think it's Michael? Even
I
though it's spelled like Mikhail?
I mean, I guess it could be
Mikhail?
But I bet it's just Michael. I did a wedding for someone else with a name like this that was spelled like, not this name, but it was spelled in such a way, but it was still Peter.
Still phonetically spelled.
Yeah, it was still Peter. It was just Peter in whatever language.
Right.
So I think we can go with Michael.
Okay, so.
Is his question about why no one can pronounce his name?
No, I wish it was, because that would be so much funnier. But this is from Michael. And Michael says, "Hello, LB and Clark. I have a concern and wanted to get your input. I recently went back to work and a coworker / good friend seems to be negative at every turn. For example, this person thinks the world is ending because the overworked waitstaff hasn't spoken to them yet. Or surprise, there's traffic. Or heaven forbid, there's another minuscule hindrance. I have learned to not sweat the small details. I did my work years back and now I'm triggered every time I'm with someone like this. How do I pass this knowledge along and teach him that being negative at every turn is a disease and that not obsessing about every little thing that happens in life is important? I know he's not in the best space, but would love any input you have on how to aid this person in letting go of the small things. Thanks, Michael."
Michael.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I have known this person. And more often, I have been this person. Been his friend.
Yeah.
Not Michael.
Yeah,
Michael seems to be on top of things.
Yeah.
Thank you for your question. I have absolutely been the every negative constantly, you know, and the thing. And he said, didn't he say something like, I've done my own work?
Yeah, yeah. I did my work years back and now I'm triggered every time I'm with somebody like this.
And this is his good friend, right?
Yeah. Good friend slash coworker.
So, Michael, you probably know, or maybe you're just more well-adjusted than most, but when somebody is like that constantly, it's a bigger issue at play.
Yeah.
It's an overall other realm of sadness or trauma or, you know, whatever is going on.
Right.
That is shadowing the entire personnel. I'll say me. Okay. Yeah. When this was going on, you know, it's easy for me to compartmentalize and be like, oh, it was just the traffic that got me angry, this and that.
Right.
It's like, no, I'm angry all the time.
Right.
It's like, I'm already up to here.
Right.
Dear listeners, putting my hand at
above the eyebrow,
your hand at the level of your eyes, which my friend keeps saying that it's from Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's this whole thing.
That's so weird.
We're in the book. Well, you want to put your hand at the level of your eyes because he'll like lasso you around the neck. Oh,
okay.
And again, you're welcome for that tangent. Yeah,
exactly. But now you know how to avoid being captured by a phantom.
Exactly. But I was with the Phantom of the Ballpark and it didn't work because he just hit me with a ball. Free Phantom night. Going for Free Phantom of the Opera bobblehead night.
Everybody gets a mask.
Everybody gets a mask. Only hideously deformed people, half price.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So what was this question about? Oh, okay.
Right.
So I am already at maximum capacity. Not now, I'm saying back when I was so, not now that I'm so well adjusted and happy, but like at moments like this where I was the complete negative everything.
Yeah.
It's because I am already at capacity with holding on in the first place.
Right.
And any little thing that goes wrong, which means life.
Yeah. Every day.
Yeah.
10 things go wrong.
But in the scheme of things, like you're, you know, like Michael's saying, you know, like, oh, they haven't talked to me at the wait staff that you can see is running around, you know, and, you know, working their asses off, but he's taking it personally.
Right.
You know, I would never be rude to a wait staff, but I'm just saying I'm a better person than your friend, Michael. I think you need to ditch this guy. But that's where I was at. So that any regular, normal life obstacle,
right?
You know, I mean, take it to something a little more inconvenient and problematic, getting a flat tire,
right,
getting in a car accident, whatever like that. Whatever like that. You know, just, it like explodes.
Right.
Because I'm already fucking at my limit to start with.
Right.
So the question there, and this is what I assume you mean, Michael, by you did your work, is that's what needs to be looked at.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the issue. The issue isn't waiting 5 more minutes for the wait staff to acknowledge you. When a sensible person knows what's going on in the world, why that is.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And a person who's not up to hear about shit to start with isn't going to be bothered by those things at all.
Right.
So you say he's a good friend of yours. And so I think that's kind of the tack to take. Part of it is like you, Michael, taking care of yourself.
Yeah.
To say, it is exhausting and bad for me to spend time with you because you are constantly negative. You are constantly a victim. You are it's like I'm having lunch with a rain cloud.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think, dear friend, that there's something bigger. Like, what's underneath this? And not that you're supposed to be his therapist or anything like that.
Right.
But just to introduce the concept, you know, and you can definitely say, hey, go to a therapist. Or you can explain to him what quote unquote work you did, Michael, years ago.
Yeah.
So, but it's, to me, it's not about don't sweat the small stuff. It's about probably a larger underlying issue,
right,
that makes the small stuff just not worth, not able to like handle with grace.
Right.
But if you bring it up, make sure they're not packing, because this could be the thing to make them snap and just lose it.
Yeah. I would hope that would be horrible. Yeah. I hope that wouldn't happen. But yeah, I mean, it's a possibility. This is rough dealing with people, especially this is a coworker. It's a good friend, but it's a coworker.
Yeah.
Which means that if you screw things up too badly, you're still going to have to see this person all the time.
Yeah.
So
they're like partner acrobats or something.
Yeah, exactly. They both work for Cirque du Soleil.
Exactly. But that, I think, and this has come up before too, this concept of sitting down with someone who has an issue that you have an issue with.
Right.
And instead of sitting down and saying, here's what's wrong with you.
Yeah.
Say, here's how you're affecting me negatively.
Yeah.
Like that's the start of the conversation.
Yeah.
And, you know, otherwise it's just me wagging my finger at another person going, you're wrong. And here's why I think you're wrong.
Right.
But it's not that so much as when you're just vomiting this negativity, you're vomiting it onto me.
Yeah.
And I don't love being covered in vomit.
Yeah. All right. Michael, Mikhail, whatever. I hope that helps. All right. We got a question here that is actually, you'll like this. It's a phone call question.
I like phone calls.
Exactly. And this is from Elijah. Elijah, take it away.
Hey, Lord Beth. I had a roommate twice, the same guy. He moved in once. He stayed a while, paid me, you know, the rent I asked. And he moved out, and then he came back, said he was going to stay this time. And then he's moving out again, and I think he's going to try to come back again, but I don't think I'm going to let him in the third round if he tries it. My name's Elijah. I live in Rossville, Georgia, not too far from Atlanta, maybe 2 hours, somewhere around there. But thanks so much.
All right. That is Elijah.
Thank you, Elijah. I am afraid that I will have no choice but to talk in his accent. I have a friend named Tina, very good friend that I love, and she's from Alabama.
Oh.
I cannot say two words to her. Can I have a conversation where I am not from Alabama immediately? So I will try not to do that. I even tell, like, I'm saying, oh, I was talking to Tina and we said that we were going to go, and
it just slowly seeped in.
We were fixing to go to the dog park, but then it's a very bad habit. It's an actor's habit too. Yes. So Elijah, I appreciate that Clark put this in, because there's not an actual question.
Yeah.
It's almost like he's asking, like, what do you think of my plan?
Exactly. He's kind of asking more for confirmation.
Yeah. I think you're right, Elijah, because if you, the question is really, how inconvenient is it for you to have someone moving in and out? Now, the obvious, you know, answer to that is it is inconvenient to you, or you wouldn't even be saying, do I let him back in?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, moving is extraordinarily stressful. If you're there and it's someone you know, then it's like, well, I got to help move again.
Right.
How many times do I have to lift your bed frame?
Right.
And so obviously that is a huge drag. Plus, if you're counting on someone to help pay the rent and you know he just disappears over and over again, you know, it's like you got to break up with your bad boyfriend to be open to a new love, you know? It's like, tell this guy to take a hike. I'm not keeping, you know, keeping your room warm for you while I wait for you to come back.
But, okay, that being said, what if they're, you know, clearly Elijah's open room, empty room has remained empty long enough so that he keeps coming back every time he leaves.
Yeah.
If that's just an empty room and not making any kind of money, would it, maybe there's a way where it can become such a routine, something that Elijah doesn't have to put any effort into.
Mm.
And then anytime the friend wants to move in for a month, it's just like, oh, you want to pay me for this month? Sure, sounds yeah. good, whatever.
Here's where the negotiation starts. Yeah. Not negotiation with the
dude.
Potential roommate.
Yeah.
The reoccurring, the perennial roommate. But with Elijah with himself, because yes. it's like, is my stress and energy worth more
right.
than what I would get? We don't know if Elijah, he doesn't say, oh, I really need the money.
Right.
You
That's
know,
true.
For all we know, he can cover his nut and pay for the whole place himself. No problem.
Right.
And if that's the case, then his lifetime stress, peace of mind, relaxation time is worth more.
Way more.
Than whatever $500 he might be getting sure. if he doesn't need it.
True.
So that's the negotiation where, you know, I'll look at, it's like, you know, my friend is like, you know, oh, I could, you know, pinch a penny here and pinch a penny there. Or, you know, go to the store or go to Costco, especially. A friend of mine is like, gets everything delivered. She's very lucky. She's in a place where she can do that, like financially and everything. She has a little baby and a really big career. And so she can get it done. And it's like, other people have said that too. It's like, yeah, it's a little more expensive, but it's not my time. And energy is worth more
right.
than what I'm putting extra on the table to, you know, get something delivered.
That's
so
right.
That is the question for you. It kind of sounds like, just because Elijah didn't mention, like, I really need someone to help pay the rent. You know, yeah. he didn't say it's fucking me up because this, well, he didn't use swear words at all because he's a fine Southern gentleman.
That's right.
I probably offended him just now. But he didn't say part of the problem is, all of a sudden, it's like, am I going to have the income or not?
Right.
So to me, that not being part of his issue, it's really how much, you know, there's the three things, like how much time, energy, whatever, and then anxiety, when is this guy going to leave again?
Right.
You know, versus, does that equal the amount of income I would get?
Right.
But then the other thing is, this guy must be pretty comfortable with Elijah because he keeps coming back. Like, is this a friend?
Yeah.
And then you go, you know what, dude, you can't come back here. And then, you know, what does that mean to the whole thing?
Right.
But Elijah, I would say, you know, you saying you don't think you're going to let him come back, that's probably the right choice because it's a whole lot of headache.
It is.
And you didn't say, I really need the money or I can't make ends meet, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, travel on, Elijah. Go to Hotlanta and have a 5-day weekend. Enjoy your Rosh Hashanah. And thank you for calling, baby.
Yeah, thank you so much. We do love phone calls. Phone calls are always fun. All right. Well, with that, we're actually moving on to our rotating segment of the week. And I'm excited. This is going to be a fun one because it's another Clark's Corner.
Will he bitch about Star Wars or obsess about She-Hulk? We'll find out on Clark's Corner. Now, Clark's Corner is always a complete surprise for me. I am totally in the dark.
Yep.
So I'm excited to hear what your deal is.
And I'm excited about this one, too, because I think you're about to, your mind's going to blow. This is, swear to God, $100 million multi-franchise idea. This is something that could make so much, just buckets of money, just buckets and buckets of money.
Is it Sophie's Choice action figures?
It is not. Okay. Are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. I thought about this. And this was usually I come in and I have a whole plot and a whole strategy of an idea of how to change this or how to make a sequel to, you know, fucking Quantum Leap or whatever you want to do. This is an idea that is not very baked, but the core part of this idea is unbearably amazing.
Okay.
Do you have any knowledge? Have you ever watched any of the Night at the Museum movies?
I don't know that I have seen a full one, but I have seen definitely parts of it.
Ben Stiller, Robin Williams was in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Lots of big names.
Oh, I know the whole concept.
They made three movies.
Yep.
And it kind of, I've watched all three of the movies. And by the third movie, you really are feeling like, all right, how many times are these museum pieces going to come back to life and well, have to go on an adventure?
My question to you is...
You're still Southern.
Oh, shit. I told you, it's a problem.
My question to you
My question to you, I'm telling you, you can see this.
Yeah.
I wasn't putting it on. I'm still doing it.
Okay.
Within the movies, yes. Do they bring more, like, different historical stuff? So that's kind of the thing. It's like, yes, it's the same, but the now magic, we're learning about.
The magic of the movie is there's some mystical, magical tablet. It's supposed to be Egyptian in the movie.
Okay.
But there is a literal tablet. And the tablet is cursed or has some kind of magic on it so that wherever it is, everyone in that area that's, you know, fake, a wax figure or a stuffed animal or a toy, if it looks like it's a thing, it comes to life and it starts moving and it has a personality. So here's my idea.
Okay.
Night at the museum. They've already kind of played out the whole museum thing.
Yes.
Night at Museum was made by 20th Century Fox.
Okay.
Do you know who owns 20th Century Fox now?
Who?
Disney.
Disney.
Disney owns everything 20th Century Fox, including the Night at the Museum series.
Okay.
Here's my idea. Are you ready?
Yes.
A night at Disneyland.
Oh my God.
You bring the tablet or what, if you want to make it a new movie and it has a new red herring through the whole thing, whatever, it doesn't matter. There's a magical thing and it is making all of the animatronics inside of Disneyland come to life walk outside of their attraction.
I'm already a little upset about the pirates.
I know. The pirates, the ghosts.
Well, that's
the jungle animals.
It's funny that. The pirates were the first thing I thought, and not the Haunted Mansion.
Yes.
But, my goodness. The Happy Hunt,
you could pull characters from Snow White, from Pinocchio, from anything that's at Disneyland could come to life. You could have one of the main characters, if Robin Williams was still alive, he would play Abraham Lincoln in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
So what's cool is, though, my mind is a little blown.
Right.
But what I'm seeing is, because when you're saying franchise this and that, I'm even seeing half a show, like a series, half an hour. But so the first season could just be the individual rides.
Yeah.
And then you move into people leaving their rides and... like meeting you, then you go like, oh, pirates meet Mr. Lincoln.
Yep.
Here, you know that. Oh my goodness.
Right.
Oh my goodness.
Like I said, I haven't had a lot of time to think about it. However, in my head, I do feel like you need a way to get it in. I almost think maybe instead of doing the Ben Stiller route, instead of having the adult that's trying to, you know,
and
get
was
all
he
of
like
these...
the security guard or
yes,
something?
Yes, he was the night security guard. And every night when the sun went down, the characters came to life.
Gotcha.
So instead of having the one adult that doing this, I think we should add another thing that you and I have always dreamed of to this.
What?
I think we should make it more of a Goonies style story where there's like a core group of teenagers, three or four or five teenagers that are working together with the animatronics to do something, to stop someone, to whatever it is.
And they are in the underground tunnels?
They could be in the underground tunnels, but they are normal, everyday Disneyland guests that have to figure out how to spend the night at Disneyland without security noticing. So you add that element to it, and now there's like security and some like evil bad guy that's trying to steal the tablet, and they're all having to fight against, you know, the elephants that are getting showered in the pool.
Oh,
right. Or the hippos or Indiana Jones and the boulder. Like, you could just have Indiana Jones and the boulder running through the park.
And the
boulder's constantly chasing it.
The pirates finally get to Jungle Cruise in the backside of water, and they're like, a Beth is amazing. Yo-ho!
So in the Night at the Museum movies, there was a core group of characters that came to life in all of the movies that were the main act, the big named actors, right? You had Robin Williams.
Yeah.
You had... Owen Wilson was like a little miniature guy.
Oh, he's like a cowboy
little
or something?
Little cowboy.
I remember that.
And then there's the British guy that was the knight.
Yes.
There was like six or seven characters that were in the museum that were like the core.
Yes.
That was the main part of the story was happening to them and Ben Stiller. So my question to you is,
yes,
who would be the core group of characters
oh.
from Disneyland that would work with the heroes to stop whatever the villain is?
Definitely the Abominable Snowman.
Abominable Snowman is
from
great.
From Matterhorn.
I think Mr. Lincoln has to kind of be a part of it.
Yeah, definitely Mr. Lincoln. I was going to say Tinkerbell, but Tinkerbell is already a real person.
Yeah, Tinkerbell is a person.
She's a real person. So let me think.
Maybe I'll throw this out at you. I don't know when the last time you've been on Pirates is, but Red is now the redhead. We want the redhead.
Yes.
Bring us the redhead. Now the redhead is a part of the pirates.
Ah.
She's a pirate that's auctioning off the stuff that's there that they're selling at the auction.
Gotcha.
So maybe Red the pirate girl.
Red.
She could be a part of the group.
And the mayor's wife who says,
No.
Don't tell them. What does she say?
She says, my favorite joke was that you were, when they were changing all of Pirates to be more politically correct, that we went in Pirates and you said this, and I swear to God, I can't unhear it. She opens the window and goes, no. And you went, you open the window and you go, no, means no.
Yes.
And then you close the window.
Yes,
so funny.
There was this you know, time at Disneyland where, like everything.
Yeah.
Where, because, you know, it's Pirates of the Caribbean. They were selling wenches.
Right.
They were chasing.
Yeah.
So then they changed certain stuff where now a woman is chasing a pirate. Right. And now they're not auctioning off a human being.
Or they're clearly going after her plate of food.
Exactly. So, yeah. No means no was.
Oh, that was so funny.
Was a.
Do not tell him, Carlos. Don't be cheeky.
Don't be cheeky. That's what she says.
Yeah.
Then I had another one that I think of a lot. We will definitely get back to your idea.
No.
Means no.
It means no.
Another one that you cracked up of because it says dead men tell no tales.
Yeah.
So we were going through going like dead men don't eat kale. And then we did like 20 of them. And then the last one, which I loved, really cracked you up. I go, dead men like big sales. Washington's birthday. Yo-ho.
Love that one.
Would be such a dick. And Clark would, because Clark's long.
Yeah.
So he would, when you're going through a slim thing on Pirates, he would put his hand on the wall and like stop the boat from moving.
Well, the whole thing is Pirates of the Caribbean and Small World. The car that you're sitting in isn't on a track.
Yeah.
It's just floating down a little doughboy pool that has a little track. So all you got to do is hold on to something and the water starts rushing by you and you could just freeze your car there.
Yeah, until you get hit by. Oh, the other one is when you're getting out of Pirates, like the last little when you're going by the pirates
that
in
are shooting
the,
at each other.
And no.
When, after that,
no means no. When they're in the jail and they're trying to get the key from the dog.
Yeah, yeah.
There's this big thing of TNT.
Oh yeah.
And Clark reaches, it's like hanging from the ceiling, this big crate.
Yeah.
And Clark reaches up and swats it so it starts swinging. And the guy over the PA goes, you broke it, you bought it.
Yes. Oh, I love that.
It was great. So we have Red.
You have Red. You have Abraham Lincoln.
Yes.
You have the
Abominable
Yeti.
Snowman. Yeti.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Who else? Maybe one of the tiki birds?
Because then he could fly around and be like recon.
And like sit on one of the kids' shoulders.
Yes.
Right.
And then I think you would definitely have to have like a couple creepy like Children of the Corn from Small World.
Small World. Yeah. That would be really
like
funny.
Like a little Dutch girl. And
yeah, I feel like the Small World characters have to be these, God, I can't remember. Maybe it was like in one of the Jurassic Park movies where it's like, oh, there's a kid and look, it's a little lizard and she thinks it's sweet. And then all of a sudden there's 20 of them all around her. That's the Small World kids.
Yes. They just rip off pieces of flesh. Yeah, they would be creepy.
Right?
No, there's so much because then you're even in the underwater, in the Nemo ride, which used to just be the... whatever. Oh, then you have on the train the dinosaurs.
Yes, you could have dinosaurs walking around.
Dinosaurs come. Okay, I'm liking this.
How fucking amazing is this idea?
I'm really liking this. Disney, if you're listening,
the company, night at Disneyland.
Not a person that works there, just if the actual company is listening. Okay, I think that that is awesome.
Right.
I think that that is awesome and could be quite endless.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You make it so that that's all, another reason why I feel like you make them teenagers, mm-hmm. so that there's a little bit of the Stranger Things or Goonies or something like that. You have a bunch of kids and then they can grow, right? So for the next four movies, they're teenagers and then they're older teenagers and they're early 20s and then they're in their adulthood. Like,
oh my goodness.
The whole franchise could grow with them.
I really like this.
Right?
And I like the concept of them maybe. First, I was just saying eventually they can break out and go to California Adventure. But then for some reason, I thought of them going to like do some bad shit at Knott's Berry Farm.
Yeah, exactly.
That's going to be a mishmash.
They could go to Florida 1 year.
Oh, my God.
They could go to Europe 1 year.
Oh,
this could become like the mix of Ghostbusters and Stranger Things and A Night at the Museum.
Okay, I'm liking this very much.
Right.
All right, well, we'll have to work it out. Somebody send us, should we start a Kickstarter?
A Kickstarter, A Night at Disneyland.
A Night at Disneyland.
We'll start working on the script.
Oh my goodness, okay, done.
Right.
Sold.
Right.
Yes.
Sorry, this has just been driving me bonkers. It's like I'm sitting on a pile of gold and don't know what to do with it. Anyway, okay.
Excellent. Okay, I'm
so
in.
We have nothing to do with it, but it's a fun idea.
Yeah.
And now it'll flitter off into nothingness.
Yes, okay. And let this recording that we are making on Friday, September 3rd at 2:26 p.m. serve as copyright. So if anybody pitches this after that, we will use this recording as evidence.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
I got your back.
Well, now that that's off my chest, it's time for us to maybe move on to one more question for the podcast.
Okay.
And we have a final question here from Riley.
Riley.
And Riley says, "Hey guys, I've always struggled with making friends, but now I'm entering my late 20s and feel like I'm the only person my age that doesn't have a large group of friends. I really only have one friend that I trust, and I'm used to making myself feel guilty for not having more friends. Before the pandemic, I would try to go to gatherings and meet new people, mostly unsuccessfully. But while in quarantine, I got really used to enjoying the time I spend by myself. Now I'm going back and forth between deciding whether I should go back to trying to make new friends or if I should just stick to spending time alone. I feel like anything I choose will be the wrong choice for me. Help."
Okay, well, you've painted yourself into a bunch of corners. Well, who's this?
Riley.
Okay, Riley, a few things. Just relax a little bit because you're turning into Michael's friend who's negative all the time and nothing goes right for him. Yes. So, you know, Michael, don't go down the same path and say, I think I'll be friends with Riley. Riley.
Yeah.
It is, cool name, by the way.
Yeah.
It is a convention of television where there are a group of eight people who are in love with each other, have a strong, you know, friends isn't, that's not life, you know?
Yeah.
It's more, you know, I have a couple friends that I really just can call and vomit on and say like, this is what's going on.
Right.
And they understand me. They know where I'm coming from.
Right.
I listen to their shit. I call them on their bullshit. They call me on mine.
Right.
You know, they're the ones that will come over and help me, you know, just get shit together when I'm depressed. They're the ones I can call at 2 a.m.
Yep.
All of that stuff. Then I have, you know, people in my life that are friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have your close friends, your best friends, your confidants.
Yeah.
It's not normal, I don't think, to have 20 of those people.
Yeah.
There are people that you enjoy doing the same stuff with, and you got like, you know, my few, you know, gonna go camping with, you know, maybe 15 of my friends.
Right.
There's probably gonna be, as I'm thinking about it, just one of us that is a true, like, knows a lot of shit about me,
yeah,
and I know everything about him.
Yeah.
And the rest are just people that I like.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a group of friends to do stuff with, but.
And at varying degrees, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some that you like a lot, not enough to be the best friends, but yeah. like a lot. And there's some that you like occasionally, you know.
There's your, you know, your core best friend confidants. Yeah. There's friends. There's friendly acquaintances.
Yeah.
There's acquaintances.
Yep.
You know, there's a lot of gray area and a lot of levels before you get into like people I hate. Right. Well, no, in the middle, there's people I'm indifferent to.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is kind of the worst. Like, you're like, he's fine, but if I never saw him again, either way.
And then there's the biggest group of people you'll never meet.
Yeah, I know, right?
That's honestly the biggest piece of pie.
Yeah. So, first of all, I don't know that it's, and then of course, during the pandemic, it was like, well, I might not even be seeing my very close friends.
Yep.
Although I have a feeling that like all the most people that have those very close, confidant
yeah.
type of friends communicate on the phone. I feel like those are the ones that the women are like, you know, the husband's like, you're on the phone with her every day.
Right.
And you're
That's
like,
true.
Yeah, deal with it. And by the way, I'm about to tell her you said that. So, you know, I don't see any real point in beating yourself up for not having more friends.
Yeah.
Plus, if you're doing that constantly, it's not like people are going to go, hey, I think that I want to be best friends with Riley.
Yeah, what a... Yeah.
She's all... Like, the first thing she tells me is how sad she is. She doesn't have more friends. I'm really looking for a friend. Would you like to be my friend?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I'm going to step away from you, Riley, and lock my car doors.
Yeah. I also had a pretty big group of friends in my 20s. And I completely agree with you, LB. It was like... I had maybe two or three, and probably, I don't even know if it was, they were part of the big group.
Yeah.
Friends that I, you know, were close enough to me that would be like, I have to tell you something.
Yeah.
You know, I'm having a problem. Somebody that I could talk to, somebody that I could trust.
Yeah.
Those I could count on one hand, maybe less, you know? So the rest were just, you know, fun people to hang around.
Yeah.
And they seem to like me well enough. I seem to like them well enough. But in no way have I ever I am now in my early 40s, but during the pandemic, I wasn't Zooming with a bunch of these people that were like, I couldn't wait to see again. That's kind of what Facebook is for, right? You see on Facebook, oh, look, Charlie had a kid. How cool. All right. Yay. Like, and then you move on.
We have the Christmas group.
Right, right.
We have the
high school
Christmas
group.
And it's a bunch of us from high school. And we were getting together once a year, like a week before or after Christmas, whatever it
was. Celebrate our visas.
Remember when we... Yes, but we won't get into that right now. But I remember... Like the first time we did it the first time I was here was after Christmas. Your tree was still up.
Oh, yeah.
And we all went to dinner and Lex was at Mimi and Papa's and then Karen went to pick him up and we were all there hanging out and he really didn't want to go to bed.
Oh,
and he
no.
was pitching a fit and he was what? Three?
Yeah, maybe two
three.
Or three. Yeah.
And Karen came out with this sad, like laughing look and she goes, he thought we were having Christmas again and he didn't want to miss it. And we had little, because we do like a white elephant, you know, where you can steal the gift and that kind of stuff. So there were some presents about and he just thought it was Christmas again and he wasn't invited. It's like, no, baby, that's not it.
Poor guy.
Just going to swear a lot. So you need to do teethies and bye-bye.
Exactly.
So yeah, Riley, it's not advisable to have that kind of deep friendship.
Yeah. If you have
enough people.
If you have one or two, swear to God, that's so good.
Yeah.
That's great.
But you also say, baby kitten, that you were happy spending time alone during the pandemic. So, and if you're just basing this on other people's expectations, on what you see, you're like, how does Chandler love Monica, Joey, and Ross just as much?
No one told me life was going to be this way.
Exactly. Because it's not. because it's fake.
Exactly.
And, you know, you every group of 10 chickies that you see, like, huddled together in a picture on Facebook, two of them hate each other. Yes. And they just hang out all the time.
Yeah.
Three of them hardly show up.
Yeah, exactly.
Two of them are really close and talk every day. And the other one had just snuck in the background and is just, like, from a different group entirely. And it's just photobombing.
Seriously.
So, first of all, lighten up, Riley. Lighten up. You don't need to beat yourself up for not having friends, especially when you're happy spending time alone.
Absolutely.
You know, if you were super lonely, that would be a different thing. But
you're happy.
Yeah. If you have that one close friend, like you said, great.
Great. That's all you need.
Work your way down the levels till you get to someone I despise.
Right.
And you'll be set. You'll have all the colors of the rainbow.
Exactly. Exactly. And hopefully, maybe the friend that you do like and that you want to hang out with, maybe they have a couple of friends you can go over for a big event and feel like everyone's your friend.
Yeah. Relax, girl.
Exactly. Or guy. I don't know. Riley.
Oh, girl? Riley could be guy. That's true.
Anyway.
Relax, person.
Well, I hope that helps, Riley. And please let us know how it went. But if you guys have a question out there, please send it to us. We would love to hear your voice. We would love to answer your questions. So send us your problems at AskLoriBeth.com. Go follow us on all the socials at AskLoriBeth or leave us a message with your voice at 1-855-336-2374. That's 1-855-DENBERG or 1-855-Denberg.
You can find me at LB Denberg on Instagram, at Lori Beth Denberg on Twitter. And there is the awesome Lori Beth Denberg fan page on Facebook.
That's right.
And if you want to book me for a personal, you know, video message for your friend, I just got cameo.com/LoriBeth.
Yeah.
I just got a request for a cameo that I am, like, super in love with.
Oh, no.
It's a chickie. No, it's good news.
No. Good, good, good.
It's a chickie who wants me to ask her sister to be her maid of honor at her wedding.
Oh, how adorable. Awesome is that? That's amazing.
It's like such a, I mean, assuming you love me, it's a cool way to ask.
Wow, but that's
then
a cool
way. Like,
way.
It's kind of, you know what I feel like? I feel like when I officiate weddings and I say, like, we're all getting, I feel like I'm in on it now.
Yeah.
Like I'm part of this wonderful moment. So hopefully she doesn't say no. Anyway, cameo.com/LoriBeth.
Yes.
And wish me a happy camping.
Yeah, absolutely. And if anyone out there knows anyone that works at Disney, we'd love to make that Night at Disneyland movie.
I am just into that.
God, I just can't stop thinking about it. All right. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Goodbye, baby kittens.
That Advice stars Lori Beth Denberg and Clark Crozier. The show is produced by me, Jeremy Balin, and part of the Seltzer Kings Network. Our theme song is written and performed by Natty Ward. If you or someone you love is in need of some bad advice, you can submit your own question on our socials, all of which are Ask Lori Beth, or on our website at AskLoriBeth.com, or for a nostalgic twist, you can call 1-855-DENBERG. That's right, 1-855-336-2374, and leave your question there. Thanks for listening.